Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there.
Get a order.
Everybody out there.
Get into it.
Away.
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show. And online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation. Always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation show here at 980 AM. Appreciate you joining me today via radio, as well as if you're listening today on iTunes, via podcast, or at grillnationshow.com. Appreciate you joining us again each and every week. It's going to be a great show today, and you can always connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. Also on social media, on Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook. Just search for my name, and I will connect with you on those platforms. Before we get to our awesome guest today, I'm looking forward to this one. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want to thank our title sponsors of the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill. Those sponsors are Truss, MoBank, BOK Financial, and Two West Companies, and Ryan Rink. Contributors of the Grill Nation Show include The Rieger and Jay Rieger & Co. Ryan Mabey is a guest co-host and on-air contributor. And the KCADC, the Kansas City Area Development Council. Both those contributors come on the show bi-monthly or quarterly each year and do a lot to bring us some really cool guests and whatnot. So we have a great show today. I'm excited to talk to Justin Meyer, who is with the KC Aviation Department. He is the Deputy Director of Aviation for Marketing and Air Service Development. The website is flykci.com, and Justin is on Twitter at Justin Meyer KC. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Good to see you, man. I noticed in your Twitter profile photo you have some World Cup fever like I do.
Yeah. None of my three picks made it past the group stage. So
I'm noticing that.
It's kind of rough.
You need to update that.
Kind of rough. Until I kind of the kiss of death then, too. You know, I was like, well, you know, I kind of am in on Denmark, and then they didn't make it either. So
I mentioned your Twitter because you, at Justin Meyer KC, because you, you're very active on Twitter. It's one of the things you like to do.
Yeah, it's a good conversation, right? I think there's a good collection of people that love Kansas City that are all trying to promote what we're doing here in KC, and it's also in the aviation world. It's a good medium for us to be, have eyes on what's happening.
Sure.
Airlines all over the place.
Check it out. Yeah. And you also share some really cool stories and information. So Justin, tell us about your background. I know you, we'll get to what you do now, but kind of take us through the journey, man, because one of the things we like to do on the show before we kind of get to the nuts and bolts of the day to day and Kansas City is really kind of talk about where the heck you came from and how'd you end up here. So,
right. So
take us from growing up, college.
Right.
Where were you at, man?
Yeah, you bet. I wasn't here.
I wasn't in the Midwest.
No, I grew up on the East Coast. I was born just outside Washington, D.C., on the Virginia side, and lived almost all my life. Grew up there. And
what was that like?
It was a great place to grow up. I really loved the diversity in Fairfax County. There's a lot of, I had diplomat kids, ambassadors kids, in the public school system there.
Yeah.
I remember there was in my seventh grade shop class, there was a kid from Pakistan that was, next to me in my class, and it's just like whatever. So
we didn't get that growing up in
no,
the Northland.
It was a little bit different. And that's and quite honestly, in the Northland where I live now, that's one of the things that I miss the most as my kids are being raised. I just wish that the diversity in the city was better.
It's getting better.
Not so isolated.
It's getting better.
Yeah.
But so you were in D.C. I always wonder about that, just because there's, like you said, there's so many people from so many different places. I had a chance to to work up there for a few summers, and you meet people from all over the U.S., which is really cool.
Right.
And that would have been a cool experience.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable, and it was great to grow up in. We'll talk a little bit about my kind of fascination with history, I think, through the course of this show, and to be able to take a fifth grade field trip to Gettysburg and to walk around on on a Civil War battlefield, and the nation's history is so focused on that part of the country. It's really neat to be able to just to walk up to Harper's Ferry and talk about munitions depots that were destroyed during a Civil War.
I never really thought about that. Grade school kids in Washington D.C. have a plethora of field trips,
right?
That they go with their class.
Sixth grade, we were at Jamestown, right? We go down and talk about the Nina the Pinta and the Santa Maria, and the initial colonization. We go to Williamsburg, Virginia, and see all that stuff too. So it was neat to be part of the birthplace of our country, right?
Teachers might have a little easier out there with curriculum, with going on to events and whatnot. So you did that, and then you. Did you leave for school, or would you go to college?
I did. I got into aviation probably sixth or seventh grade, to the point that even I'd bike from Vienna, which is where I was from in Virginia, and bike on the WOD trail all the way down to Washington National Airport. Now it's Reagan Airport.
One of my favorites.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. I love where it's located. Yep. I love the simplicity of it.
But I'd bike down there and just watch planes fly over that little park there right on mm-hmm. the north side of the runway. So I got into aviation pretty young as a kid and wanted to make a career of it. And, when you're young, you don't really see all the behind the scenes stuff. And I wanted to be in aviation. So I figured that meant I needed to become a pilot. So I went to college in Florida, Florida Tech in Melbourne, Florida, and studied aviation, flew all through college, would take a communications class and then would go to the airport and fly an airplane from, Melbourne to Tampa and then back. And then, do whatever. So
that's pretty cool.
It was neat. I realized probably my junior year, I realized a couple things. One, that there's a lot of other jobs in aviation besides being the pilot. And two, I wasn't a great pilot. I remember my complex, commercial training on an airplane that was, had a lot of horsepower to it. And it was one that, I can't remember what it was. We had weathered. I got signed off to solo and got, it was 3 weeks until I actually got to solo the airplane and had completely forgotten how to fly it. It was a racehorse that kind of taught me a lesson.
Yeah.
So as soon as I landed that flight, I was like, this isn't for me. And the lifestyle is really hard. We'll come to the reason I'm in Kansas City is a girl, like many guys in Kansas City that didn't come from here, but I met my wife, when we were in college together in Florida. And I realized lifestyle.
Was she a pilot?
No, she wasn't. She was studying environmental science and playing on the collegiate volleyball team there.
Yeah.
The opportunity to stay in aviation is really good and came back here. Following graduation and actually started with Vanguard Airlines. So
the girlfriend brought you here after college.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And you immediately got a job with Vanguard.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And working
in this building.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. It hasn't been
a different floor.
Okay. Uh-huh. It's been updated maybe a little bit since then. What were you doing for them?
A little bit of everything. I started as an intern the summer before my senior year of college and then had a job offer coming out. And did pricing and revenue management, scheduling, charter sales. We actually chartered the University of Kansas football team 1 year, and that was really fun to fly around with them. We even saw them win a game in Lubbock. So,
Justin Meyer is our guest on Grill Nation Show today. Justin, when we come back from the break, we're gonna have a longer segment. I want to talk to you about kind of when you started at the Kansas City Aviation Department, and I believe on your journey you went back to Florida. For a few years, that experience, and then how you were recruited to come back here into your current position, which is the Deputy Director of Aviation Marketing and Air Service Development. Obviously, you've been very active recently with new flight paths and a new terminal, so we'll talk about that as well. You're listening to the Grill Nation Show here at 9:80 a.m. We'll be right back after the break. Thanks for joining us.
Come out to me now. Oh, crap. The sound.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show, 980 AM, KMBZ, and on iTunes and via podcast. Talking to Justin Meyer, who I will post a photo of us today and also post on my social media. He is with the KC Aviation Department. He is on Twitter at Justin Meyer KC. Justin, you mentioned you got to Kansas City because of a woman. You worked for the Vanguard Airlines.
Yeah.
Is this still around or no?
No. The airline shut down summer of 2002. In fact, we're coming up on that that anniversary. It was July, if I recall correctly.
You went on to AirTran and then to the KC Aviation Department. So, talk about that. You obviously started there. It looks like you were there for about 6 years,
mm-hmm.
And then you left again and went back to Florida, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I came here in 2000 and would have been 2006. Started with the city of Kansas City, Missouri, which oversees the Kansas City Aviation Department, where the Aviation Department's an enterprise fund, as the manager of air service development. So that's a really interesting career that I kind of fell into.
Mm-hmm.
At Vanguard, we talked a little bit about that, but at AirTran, I was also a schedule planner. So
mm-hmm.
Airline would take delivery of two new airplanes a month, and somebody had to figure out where to put them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where can we take these multi-million dollar assets, and where can we make money? And so that was really my role there, is trying to put together flight schedules. What's the earliest you can have a flight out of Moline, Quad Cities, to go to Florida? You know, is 5:30 too early, or does it need to be 7? You know, because if it's 5:30, you can get some more flying out of that airplane and you can make some more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a while, and then we started having kids, and the work-life balance wasn't quite right. So wanted to be closer to home, and came back to Kansas City and became the airport, talking to the airlines as the which is the person that I used to be. So I was able to speak that language on revenue per available seat mile and inside turns and all the scheduling lingo that the airlines are considering as they're building their schedules.
So you did that,
mm-hmm.
and we'll jump fast forward here though. You went back to Florida.
Yeah. So in that would have been 2012. Yeah.
Tampa
there
area.
Was, yeah, went to Tampa. There was an opportunity to join a team that was a bit of a dream team, right? This head airport guy, Joe Lupano from Dallas, brought over some of his team, and Tampa is an airport in Florida that at the point was really underserved from air service. And so there was a great opportunity to go there and get them ramped up. And so we had a lot of air service success, got their first ever nonstop flight to Latin America with Copa, worked to get Alaska to fly between Tampa and Seattle. And I was involved in the preliminary part of the negotiations with between Tampa Airport and Lufthansa,
mm-hmm.
which is now a flight that's doing really, really well. So they've got a new
terminal there.
They've done about a $1 billion project. Their terminal actually, in terminal design, opened the same year we did, but did a completely different strategy, where we did the very unique drive to gate design. They built a kind of a central hub with concourses attached via trams. So their central terminal is still the same, but they've demolished and rebuilt air sides, as they call them, the concourses.
I was just there 2 years ago, I think it was.
What'd you think?
Pretty impressed.
Yeah, it's super, super convenient. I know a lot of people say that nobody can be more convenient than Kansas City.
Very convenient.
One of my favorite things about Tampa is the short-term parking is, in fact, right on top of the terminal. So you can park right on top, go right down, jump on a tram, and be at your gate in no time. It's really easy.
Yeah, it was very, a lot of fish tanks in that airport.
That's true, yeah.
It was cool. It was very open. Came back to Kansas City to your current position. What was that? Why did you make that decision?
I believe we can build the terminal, and I wanted to be part of
that. She saw it as an opportunity.
Yeah, huge opportunity, and a great fit for the direction that our city's going. There's so much that we're accomplishing, growing up as a city, and it's kind of silly to think that, you know, a decision that was made in the mid-1960s and a style that was designed in the late 1960s and opened in 1970 would still be the best for now. So it's been a challenge. I've been back for 4 years, and we've definitely had highs and lows, but we're moving forward. We had a positive vote in November. We've got a really good group that we're partnered with to design and construct a new terminal. And mm-hmm. while we haven't broken ground yet, it's coming.
Yeah,
and it's been, definitely is something I wanted to be part of.
Hey man, if you look back 5 years ago, I mean, you wouldn't think you'd get a new terminal here, and it's going to happen. So that's exciting for you.
We made big progress.
Yeah,
so it's,
for sure.
We're so thankful for everybody that's taken the time to become educated on airports. It's not a typical thing that you'd want to get smart on, right? But it's really the financing and operation of an airport is confusing. Who pays for it? How does it work? You know, why there's not a direct relationship between airport costs and airfare. There's, you know, you build a new runway doesn't mean you get more flights, right? So there's all sorts of assumptions that people have that for the most part, none of them are actually true.
I want to talk about, I actually am concerned about what you actually do at the KCAD.
Okay.
What do you do every day? Like what do people know about KCAD? What should they know? Because off air, we were talking about if there's flights are canceled. I mean, yeah. You guys get negative press, never get right. emails, negative right. calls, negative tweets.
I just
need to, let's take the listeners through like what the KCAD's actual
sure.
role is.
So again, I mentioned Enterprise Fund of the City of Kansas City, Missouri. So the City of Kansas City, Missouri oversees
the airport, which is unique, right?
It's kind of unique. The City of Atlanta manages Hartsfield,
okay.
But. We've seen a move towards
regional
authorities. And when I was in Tampa, the Hillsborough County Airport Authority manages Tampa International Airport. Then there's pros and cons for both. I think the interesting thing with Kansas City, Missouri managing our airport, is that the majority of our users actually come from the state of Kansas. So, yeah, so there's lots of.
I don't like to hear that,
yeah,
but as a Missouri guy,
that's all right.
We'll take it. We'll take it. It's a regional place here now.
Right. So it's, you know, I think that conversation is one for another time. I really want to get focused on getting this terminal done and a conversation about changing the governance of airport ownership. Now's not the time for that. We've got enough challenges moving forward on the terminal project.
Mm-hmm. So KCAD.
Aviation department. So
So
part of the City of Kansas City, Missouri. I mentioned Enterprise Fund. There's also the Water Department is the other Enterprise Fund of the City of Kansas City, Missouri, and that means that both of those departments don't touch the city taxpayer general fund, right? So if you pay property tax or pay e-tax, that goes into a pot. Aviation and water don't touch that.
Okay.
And so that promise of there's no risk to taxpayers on the new terminal project, that is true because we are an enterprise fund and the revenue that we use to run the aviation department is from airport users only, be it passengers or tenants or airlines themselves that pay us when they land airplanes. So we've got about 450 employees in the aviation department and everything from finance to commercial development to airport maintenance, airport operations, lighting and facilities. I mean, we do bus drivers. We've got jobs for just about every different type of employee.
You also provide air services at the Charles B. Wheeler Downtown Airport.
That's right. So aviation department oversees both MCI and MKC.
We can hopefully fly through there one day when we have private planes.
Yeah, right.
I've done that one time.
Have you?
One
it's
time. I've flown out of a... So went to Cuba years ago, and the guy that we went to Miami with had a private plane, his business.
Right.
So I actually got a chance to do that. That was pretty cool. Land and, you know, flying out of there with the city views.
Right.
It's pretty awesome.
I'll take your word for it.
But,
still on my
but
list.
Now I just run around the downtown airport, marathon training or half marathon training. You know, that,
sure.
that's
it's a good loop.
If it's not sunny,
right.
there's no trees.
Right.
Very good loop to run through. So you guys obviously operate that as well. And like you mentioned, this is an enterprise fund of KCMO, and so it's supported by airport user charges. No general tax revenues are used for administration, promotion, operation, and maintenance of the airports in the system. Very interesting.
Yeah.
When it snows, what happens?
Yeah, so we've got the crew that are our field maintenance team, right, that's out there cutting grass and doing work in the summer. They're plowing in the winter. So we've luckily had pretty decent decent weather the last couple of winters, but it's always interesting.
Yeah, what do
because
I do, though? What do I do? My flight has been canceled. I want to tweet at Justin Meyer
right.
KC.
And
this
people
sucks.
Do. All right, and people do. I can't help you, but I'll listen to you.
Who controls that?
So the best way to talk about the relationship between the airport and our tenants, our airlines or our concessionaires, whatever, it's really similar to a shopping mall. I work for the company that owns the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to pave the parking lot, plow the parking lot, make sure there's security in there, make sure the lights are on, and manage negotiations with tenants as they come and they go.
Mm-hmm.
Does Ann Taylor Loft need more space? Let's figure that out. That's really our role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to fly for free because I'm not an airline employee, right? The airline employees get to enjoy those benefits. So,
man, I was really hoping you'd bring some flight tickets in here for us.
Sorry. But that's really, I think the easiest way to help people understand how that works is the airlines make their own decisions on how much to sell a ticket for or what kind of product they should, just like the loft. You know, should we sell this? Should we sell that? How much should it be? All those decisions are made by the airlines that are doing business in Kansas City. Our job is just to provide a place for them to do good business. Mm. And that means plowing the runways in the winter, make sure the airport's open. If somebody makes an operational decision and says, you know, we're not going to fly this flight in because we think the weather's going to get worse. Or if that plane that's coming in from Chicago comes to Kansas City and then there's a blizzard in Denver, so we're not even going to fly the plane in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are all the operational decisions the airlines make.
Justin,
and it's gotten better, especially in the world of technology.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be that when we'd have a big storm, that media would show up to try to find the crowds. There aren't crowds anymore because when a flight gets canceled, your phone vibrates and
there
it says
go.
Stay home.
Justin Meyer is our guest. We'll be right back after the break with more Grill Nation. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show, 980 AM KMBZ. Also, I appreciate you joining me if you're listening today via iTunes, via podcast, or at grillnationshow.com, where you can find all of our information, our shows that we've aired in the past. You can listen to them and all of our social media contact info. We're talking to Justin Meyer today. He's on Twitter at Justin Meyer KC. He's the Deputy Director of Aviation at the Kansas City Aviation Department. Very active on Twitter, very active in the local community. Justin, we've been talking about kind of your background, what you guys do over there at the Kansas City Aviation Department. Let's talk about the growth. So you recently flew to Iceland. So that's a new flight we have. It's gotten a ton of media publicity. You actually took that trip. Were you on the first one?
Yeah, I was on the inaugural flight. I took my 12-year-old son with me.
How was that, man? Bought him a ticket.
It was spectacular. I mean, it was emotional for me. That negotiation with that particular airline took place over about a 9-year period and kind of got escalated very quickly towards the end, but it was 9 years of conversations of telling Iceland Air about Kansas City and why the hub that they operate in Iceland is a good fit for all of our transatlantic passengers, and how that's all grown and what Kansas City is, and trying to get them up to speed on the opportunities.
Changes so, everything when you have a direct to Europe.
It does. It really does. And we'll see that as the data starts coming in, that there's a stimulative effect of convenience.
How many people fly to Europe each day from KCI?
Annualized, it's about 300.
Each day,
annualized. But we also know in the summer that it peaks, right? So it's probably closer to 500 in the peak summer. And we know
that's amazing.
Yeah, it is spectacular. And we also know that our catchment area is much bigger. You start thinking about, well, if you have the convenience of a nonstop flight or an easy one-stop or a low-cost flight like Iceland Air is, you know, you're starting to pull people from Omaha. You're starting to pull people from Des Moines and Wichita. And so that number becomes closer to 600-700. In fact, the first group that came through the security checkpoint for that Iceland Air inaugural, guess where they're from? Arkansas. They had driven 4 hours, 5 hours up from Arkansas to get on that flight because they thought the fare was compelling and the flight schedule worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
so that just changes everything because you think about all the times you fly to Chicago, Minneapolis, New York, LA to do an international flight.
Right.
God, it's just a complicated mess.
I think the biggest convenience is the return flight because you're clearing customs and CBP here.
Yeah.
At home. So when I book a flight and I've got another Europe trip that I'm looking at right now. So I'm putting together what my itineraries are, and anything less than 90 minutes or 2 hours, even at Dulles or Chicago, If the layover is less than that coming back home, you never know. You never know how long security is going to take, even if, or CBP is going to take, even if you have your global entry or mobile passport or whatever. You never know. You never know. Last time I was through Chicago, the tram that connects the International Arrivals building to the other terminals was out of service.
So it makes more sense almost to fly from Iceland. If you're, let's say I'm in Rome and I'm flown to Rome for a vacation. Haven't done that ever, but
yeah,
you it makes it a lot easier.
Well, when you're home, no matter if there's 20 people in front of you or 120 people in front of you at passport control in Kansas City, when you're through, you're done. You get in your car or you call your friend and you just go home.
Yeah,
it's not there's you completely no eliminate flight, yeah. that stress of I wonder if I'm going to make my connection because this thing that I can't control is it becomes. No longer a factor. So I think that's the biggest convenience of the flight is how easy it is to clear customs here in Kansas City and just get in your car and go
home. What are some other new destinations you're excited about that we have at
Gosh, we've added a ton. Yeah. Raleigh was one of the ones that was our largest unserved market, and that we added two airlines.
That's pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. You're saying that was the one that people wanted the most, the most underserved.
The largest
city
without service. So it was about 100 passengers a day between Kansas City and Raleigh and no nonstop service. So we had been working for quite a while with a couple different carriers on that.
Just crazy though. Like think about that. If you're Kansas City and you think we're a small town, there's 100 people every day that are trying to get to Raleigh.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So Frontier and Southwest started that one, in April. We've got Frontier start in Jacksonville, which is another one of our top unserved. We've got good news in that one of our other new airlines, and we've added four in the last year. But Vacation Express has just told us that they're going to come back and operate another peak season pattern to Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic.
I've been there. Want to go?
Yeah, also on my list.
Yes.
So that's
friends have been there and they love it.
That's a good one.
And that's a direct flight,
nonstop flight.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
And there is a difference between direct and nonstop. There so is. We'll jump right in on this.
Jump
if that's
into
okay.
Because during the airport campaign, I learned this from you. I think.
Right.
What is the difference?
So the difference direct means you're going to get there on the same flight number. Nonstop means there are no other stops in between. And so if you remember, kind of Southwest Airlines 15, 20 years ago, they would have. You know, single flight numbers that go from Baltimore to Oakland, California, but with six stops in between. That's a direct flight. You could fly from Baltimore to Oakland on a direct flight that doesn't change its flight number, but still have five stops in between. A nonstop.
So you really want a nonstop
you
flight.
You really want a nonstop flight.
So we need to start making sure everyone says nonstop. That's interesting. That's one of those things that just. People started saying and it just caught on, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm also on the crusade for it's a new terminal, not a new airport.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever.
Better KCI.
I don't know if I'll ever be successful on getting people
to understand
that.
I make that mistake still sometimes. Yep. Very cool. So we're growing.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah,
you mentioned many new airlines.
Gosh, we've had 4 years of year-over-year passenger growth with 1 month. I think the month that there was a hurricane that hit Florida and a hurricane that hit Houston. September of last year was
now,
a down
is
month,
that a but, national trend?
Yeah. Sure? Okay. Yeah, it is.
So we got to continue to get
we
better.
We do, yeah. We're growing, but we've also been passed, right? So it was 5 years ago that we were a bigger, in terms of passenger volume, bigger than Austin. We've been passed. I think we've been passed by San Jose, California. We're about to be passed by Sacramento. We're about to be passed by Raleigh, or maybe that happened last year. So we've been growing, but we haven't been growing at the same rate. And then, you know, it comes back to what we heard from our airlines in April of 2016 when they sat in front of city council and said, look, Southwest intentionally doesn't connect passengers here because it's such a bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that elsewhere. And so that's all the business that we're missing out on. Sure, it's been great to grow.
So
but
if
we could be at a
when
greater
we're done
clip.
With the airport, the new terminal. That changes everything. That changes everything for Southwest and these people because then they can't say that anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
People will have the coolest unique airports.
Provide a facility with enough places to sit and enough bathrooms, which I don't think anyone can argue that we have that today, no. right? We don't have that. We don't have the space for it, right?
We don't have the bathrooms, that's for sure.
So when you're a connecting passenger, you want to get off the plane, you want to walk around, you want to use the bathroom, and sometimes you want to find something to eat. And we don't deliver on any of those.
Which
and
is so, crazy to me that we still get flights.
Yeah. And so, well, we're mostly a point of origin Kansas City or a destination Kansas City. Very little through traffic coming through. I was actually coming home from Portland, Oregon on a Southwest flight and sitting next to a guy who was going on to Indianapolis. And he's like, I've never been to Kansas City before. What should I do? What should I see? I said, well, first and foremost, don't follow people outside of the security checkpoint because then you'll have to go through security again. He's like, what? It's like, yeah, it's like right there. You know, if you get off the airplane and walk another 20 feet, you're going to be outside the secure area and then you'll have to go back through. He's like, well, I don't want to do that. I was like, well, then, you know, get oriented before you just follow the group. So
yeah, he was lucky to be sitting by you.
Yeah, maybe, maybe.
That is great. Justin Meyer is with us today. He's the deputy director of the Kansas City Aviation Department. His Twitter is at Justin Meyer KC. Great follow for new flights here in Kansas City. What other airports are doing to grow? Great civic updates, if you will, with what's going on with the new airport, new terminal.
Thank you.
Caught myself.
Good catch.
What is your favorite airport out there right now in the U.S. and abroad? Just curious that if you could build anything.
I really like the new Love Field that Dallas built.
That's kind of what Kansas City has said. We need to have something like this.
Yeah,
but better.
Yeah. And there's everyone involved in that process knows some of the things that they messed up on. Some of the gate areas needed to be bigger. The bathrooms, there's not enough bathrooms. They didn't put enough in there. And airplanes got bigger for Southwest, right? Their biggest planes went from 143 to 175. So you put 10 planes on the ground and there's all of a sudden 300 more people than you expected, mm-hmm. you know, maybe when you were putting that together. So, the thing that I like Tampa. We talked about that. I like Portland. The airport I was just
Never
in really
Portland.
Feels local. I mean, the concession program there is just absolutely true Portland. Weird, yeah. Right?
Well, that's what we're going to hopefully do with our concession program
will.
At the
uh-huh.
new terminal.
Yeah, bring in some more competition and get some true Kansas City flavor to it. And one of the issues we have right now in a very linear terminal design in the two terminals that we have is, you know, we've got to just continue to repeat the same thing because there's not one central area where if you're looking for a Starbucks, this is where you go for the Starbucks. We've got 7 or 8 Starbucks over two terminals. That's crazy. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Where's the barbecue place? Right? We've got one and you can only access it if you're flying Southwest. It doesn't make sense. So mm-hmm. we'll be able to do a lot better on the concession program. And I really like, I like Austin, Texas. And mm-hmm. I think that there's going to be a lot of similarities between that, the arrival into the Austin, Texas airport and what we're going to do here with a double level roadway separating arriving traffic and departing traffic, mm-hmm. a parking garage that's right there.
Plenty of space on the lower level,
plenty of space on the top level in the ticket counter area. So it's
the arrivals were on the bottom, right?
Mm-hmm. Claims on the lower level. Yep.
And then you go up at Austin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll do something very similar. And that's been the really neat part of this project is we're able to take I love this and put it all together. And we've got the support of our airlines to keep going on that. So it's been really
that's
fun
cool.
to be involved in so far.
That's really cool. And you know. It's about time that we did something like that because, you know, you got to have pride in your city. And so when the first thing that you notice when you fly in here is a disaster as far as aesthetics and it does make an impact. I know when I fly into cities that have great airports and they have modern, cool amenities, you're kind of like, wow, like I never would have thought name your city. I never would have thought, you know, I was in Little Rock. They have a great airport. I never would have thought like, some of these cities have great airports. So I'm excited to have a new terminal here in Kansas City and at KCI. We're talking to Justin Meyer. We're going to have him back on the show for one final segment. Time is flying here on Grill Nation. Hope you're enjoying the show. I want to pick his brain a little bit more about some other airports and have some fun as well. You're listening to Grill Nation. Final segment today on the Grill Nation show. Appreciate you joining us today on 980 AM and on iTunes. I'm with Justin Meyer. He's with the Aviation Department. He's the Deputy Director. We haven't had him on the show before, which is shocking. We've done over 165 shows at Grill Nation and probably over 200 to 300 at Entrepreneur KC. I'd like to have him on as we move through this process with the new terminal. But let's have some more fun here today talking about some of your favorite airports. What is your favorite city in the U.S. you travel to? Gosh. I know she travel a lot, so I want to know, like, if somebody's listening, what's a cool city they should to go to in a summer vacation? Or
you know, I had a blast in Portland. That was last month, and I love
it. I've never
been
there. I thought about running the marathon there, but just to see the city. I met the mayor, at a function I was at.
How about that?
In Austin at South By.
Okay.
Cool dude. I mean, it was, it seems like a great place.
Yeah. For a lot of the same reasons I love Kansas City, Kansas City's the right size for me, right?
Yeah.
And Portland's like that. Portland's not Seattle. Mm-hmm. It's got some of the same kind of cool weather that's nice, and it's got a little bit of that
more sun, maybe
Pacific Northwest feel. But yeah. it's a small city, and so I really enjoy those. But it's hard to pick one that, you know, I just go there all the time because I love the journey. I love to see something new every time I'm somewhere.
What is a destination that you want to get from the airport? Perfect world, new terminals built. You're working your butt off. I know you probably, some of it you can't talk about, but what is a destination that you'd love to have Kansas City have access to on a nonstop?
We've been talking. I told you it's been 9 years on the Iceland Air piece, right? And so we're not stopping talking to European carriers about opportunities in Kansas City. Our goal right now is to make sure Iceland Air works, and we're encouraging everybody that cares about, you know, Kansas City's connectivity to the Europe. You can't wait. Don't go to the lake every summer until I get you a nonstop flight to, you know, whatever city in France you want to go to, because that's not how it works. We got to show the airlines that we support the service as it comes in, and that's how growth happens. So if you're thinking about a trip to Europe, I need you to go, and I need you to fly Iceland Air, because we got to make that work.
Well, yeah, I mean, but if there's 500 people in the summer flying, I mean, at some point they're going to reach capacity.
Right. But to answer your question, I'm a German soccer fan, right? So I like the Bundesliga, and I'd love to have a nonstop flight into Germany. And we're talking to a couple carriers, and I'll actually be over in Germany with Visit KC promoting Kansas City, doing a sales trip with them in August. So just next month, we'll be over there.
Very nice. Been to Munich, to the beer gardens in Munich when I was in college, and enjoyed it. Flew into Frankfurt, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Lufthansa,
yeah. So my favorite breweries, the world's oldest brewery, is actually 5 kilometers from the Munich airport. So if I can give myself a 4-hour layover there, I can usually lift a quick stein.
Gotta love Germany, gotta love Belgium too. Mm-hmm. Great beer over there in Belgium. Yeah. Okay, so those are some things we're going to work on. What about pretty much on the domestic front, we're covered, right? What, are there any nonstops you want to increase?
I'd love to see some additional frequencies into some, you know, some of the markets like Washington D.C. The markets they'll kind of grow into themselves.
California would be
right?
Nice for me.
We had Orange County is probably one of our top, and there's a lot of those when you say, well, if we had a facility that connected passengers better, it would make my conversations with an airline like Southwest a lot easier, that I could say, hey, look, you know, Sacramento, Orange County, San Jose, like all of those, if you carry the local passengers plus some beyond passengers, you know, you can make a lot of those markets work with the connections that we can't do on local. So Cleveland as well, Columbus.
Well, LeBron's leaving there, so I don't know. He might have as many flights. People want to fly out to LA.
They say it rocks.
What's your favorite innovation you've seen recently, internationally, U.S., like what's an airport that's been recently built? I mean, you know, obviously a lot of these are pie in the sky, maybe in Asia. Mm-hmm. I've flown to Asia, Japan. That was an experience, man. What a crazy airport that was. But is there anything that just like you saw that was like, holy crap, that is so freaking cool?
I really appreciate the new, and they're not just in overseas. There's, in fact, I saw one in Newark, the new security checkpoint systems that they have where there's kind of five, you pull a bin from the bottom and set it on the top. Have you seen those yet?
Mm-mm.
So you pull, there's like five positions and footprints. So there's five different people can be unloading at the same time. You pull a bin out, you set it on top, you take off your belt, you take off your shoes, take out your laptop, liquids, whatever. And when that bin's full, you push it forward onto the moving, X-ray belt, and then you pull out another one and finish. So where everything is in your backpack, right? So you're in and out and you're quick. You're not slowed down by the three people that are in front of you that are struggling to take off their boots with giant metal buckles, right? Mm-hmm. Because once you put all your stuff, you just go walk right through. So that's absolutely something that we're going
to need to have at the
forward.
New terminal.
So you're not, you know, you get to kind of meet yourself. There's so much in technology. I got on a plane in Europe without talking to anybody, right? Everything was on my phone. I went through security, boom, done. Got to the gate. They said, now boarding group 3. And I walked up to an automated gate and put my phone down, and it went boop and opened, and I walked on and then sat down. And the first person that talked to me was the flight crew when they said, you know, make sure your phone's in airplane mode.
Justin Meyer is with us. About 3 minutes left. Those are cool innovations. Is there any amenities that you really enjoy at airports? A favorite amenity?
Gosh, so
you
know,
because everyone's like, all these women that I talk to when they're in the airport process, like, I got to have a nail salon in the airport. I got to have a place I can get my hair cut.
Right.
Like, people that are business travelers think about that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. You don't think about that unless you're traveling every week. Like, hey, I want to do these little things. It's not always about shopping.
Right.
What is that? I mean, is there anything you've
seen?
It's
changing. And that's the neat part is it's constantly evolving. Less barbershops, but when I was on that Portland trip, because I see airports differently, right? I'll go to the airport 2 hours early or 3 hours early just to walk around and see everything and try to figure out how different parts work. They had, Providence, medicine or Providence Medical Group is big up in
big
the
there,
Pacific
yep, yep.
Northwest. They have a walk-in clinic in the airport.
Mm.
So don't have time to get your flu shot. Don't have time to, you know, get checked out. Like,
that is so cool.
Do that right there behind security and everything. So you know, flight's delayed an hour.
If you're traveling a lot, you're not feeling that well, you need a Z-Pack to get you through the week. <There you go. laughs> They can hook you up.
Yeah. So that kind of stuff. I'm not in on nail salon, so probably not that for me, but I love
saying women. I love that stuff.
I love getting outside. And I was in Zurich and they've got an airfield observation.
You want that airfield observation day
with, you know, all sorts of signage about these are who the airplanes are. The coolest thing, and I hope we can replicate this, is this, they had this little box in the corner. You could press a button and it would start piping, live air traffic control. So you can just sit there and listen as you're seeing everything move around in the orchestration of airplanes.
Kids would love that.
Grown-up kids like you. I was totally geeked out.
Speaking of which, Justin, we got a minute left. When was the first time you flew into where?
Gosh, I don't remember.
In your life.
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No.
Of an aviation kid.
We traveled a lot. I remember in a weird twist, my grandmother actually lived on Table Rock Lake. So I remember one of my earliest flight memories was flying out of Washington on a Ozark flight, going to St. Louis and then flying from St. Louis to Springfield on an Ozark DC-9, mm-hmm. where we probably had full meal service, right? On a 30-minute
flight. What
about
your kids? How old were they when they first took their flight?
Infants.
I took my first flight to Florida, to Orlando, to go to, is that Disney World or Disneyland?
Disney World
when I was about five. I remember that. I don't know if I threw up in that flight. I can't remember, but I know I got airplane sick. It was a lot of fun.
It's still amazing. The thing that gets me is I am in my right job. I love airplanes, and I am still amazed when a plane takes off and I'm sitting there and you feel the weight transition from the wheels to the wings. It's the most incredible thing. I can't believe that in two generations we figured out how to fly through the sky.
It's pretty awesome, man. Justin Meyer has been our guest. Follow him on Twitter at Justin Meyer KC. Justin, thanks for coming on the show. And as we move on with the new terminal, I'd love to have you on to update us on progress as we move through the upcoming years, my friend.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks for coming on, and I hope you enjoyed Grill Nation show this week. Have a great day, and we'll see you again soon. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.